thank you for tuning in to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah. If you are listening for the first time, welcome, and I am so happy that you're here. If you're a returning listener, welcome back, and thank you so much for joining me. As with prior weeks, we will again be looking at the lectionary texts assigned for this week, July 3rd, 2016. The lectionary texts, as I've mentioned before, are divided into readings from the Old Testament, the Psalms, the New Testament, and the Gospel. This episode is split into two parts, and in this first part, we'll be talking about the Old Testament readings from Isaiah as well as Psalm 66. Psalm 66 encourages all of the earth to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, and I can't think of a better, joyful, or more exuberant sound than the one my preschoolers used to make when singing in chapel. Both of the churches that I've served at have had preschools on site, and I did weekly chapel services with the preschoolers. There was this one song in particular that the kiddos at my last congregation insisted on singing every single time that we met for chapel, which was twice a week, so we sang this song a lot. If you've never heard the Hippo Song, but sung by overexcited 3 through 5 year olds, you do not know how joyful a noise can be made to God. They loved that song, and I loved watching them sing and dance to it, even if I did get a little tired of singing it so much, twice a week, every week. And like I said, I loved watching them. I loved watching them dance. I loved watching them just exude that joy. If I could be that excited and happy in my own praise of God, I think my spiritual life might be a whole lot different. So I'm excited to get started with you today, but first we have to take a quick break, and when I come back, I'll be talking about this week's text from Isaiah.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's gsmcpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. The first text we'll be looking at for this week is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 16, verses 10 through 14. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice with her in joy, all you who mourn over her, that you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast, that you may drink deeply with delight from her glorious bosom. For thus says the Lord, I will extend prosperity to her like a river, and the wealth of nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You shall see, and your heart shall rejoice. Your bodies shall flourish like the grass, and it shall be known that the hand of the Lord was with his servants, and his indignation is against his enemies. These verses are beautiful and full of promise, but as always, it's important to understand the context of some of these verses. And so for that, we're turning to Michael J. Chan, assistant professor of Old Testament at Luther Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota, who gives a little bit of background on how the city, Jerusalem, is described in the 10 chapters leading up to this week's reading. And he writes, Zion, which is another word for Jerusalem, Zion is in ruins, the holy city of God, the place of God's own choosing. The concrete geographical location of divine promise has become a wilderness, a desolation. Promise died with the city, at least at first glance. The symbol of God's favor and presence have been burned by fire. Our pleasant places have become ruins. That's from chapter 64, verse 11. Burned by fire, our pleasant places have become ruins. This is not a pretty picture of Jerusalem. He continues, it was over these same structures that a psalmist once proclaimed, God is in the midst of the city, it shall not be moved. God will help when the morning dawns. And that's from Psalm 46, verse 5. And he says, but morning's light never broke, and night persisted. Zion's post-apocalyptic landscape is not only the fallout of Mesopotamian imperialism, God is somehow caught up in it all. Modern sensibilities lead one to try and untangle God from involvement with such death and destruction, but for the biblical texts, at least, the God of Israel is caught up in both death and life, judgment and salvation. These texts insist that God's wrath somehow lurks behind the mask of imperialism. But you were angry, and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. For you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. That's from Isaiah 64, chapter 64, verse 5. Zion labors under the oppressive weight of divine absence and silence. And that's from the 63rd chapter of Isaiah. So he gives us this very bleak, very depressing image of Zion, of Jerusalem, and what has happened to it in these chapters leading up to today's verses. But the text for today, the text for this week, begins with a command to rejoice in the new reality that God is creating. Isaiah 66, verse 10 says, rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her. The people are called to joy. Jerusalem, this text promises, will no longer be a source of mourning and sorrow, but rather will bring maternal satisfaction, consolation, and delight. Now, with everything that we see on the news, and with all of the anger in the world, the polarization, much of the anger is justified, it seems, but I find these words from the book of Isaiah that we read this week to be both comforting and incredibly difficult. They're comforting for probably obvious reasons, because even in the midst of all of the chaos, destruction, wrath, evil, etc., the previous 10 chapters that Isaiah has presented, Jerusalem is given reason to rejoice. Jerusalem is given promises that all of the horrors and the horrible things that they've seen and experienced don't have the last word. God has the last word, and God's word is consolation and delight. We get these beautiful images of God as a loving and nurturing mother who gently cares for and loves her children. And before I talk a little bit more about that, let me jump in here with a quick aside, because I do understand that not all mothers are loving and nurturing, and not all children experience a loving and nurturing mother. So these types of images would bring little comfort to someone who did not experience nurturing like that, mothering like that. My hope for you, if that was your story, if that is your story, is that there have been others in your life who have given you the care and the love that you didn't receive from your mother. I hope that you had nurturing figures in your life, because these images do provide a certain comfort. And so hopefully you do have something that you can relate to in terms of a nurturing God, a nurturing mother-like God. I truly love how many beautiful and diverse images of God that the Bible gives us. But I do fully understand that not all of them are going to make sense to everyone. I think that's the beauty of the Bible and the number of descriptions that we get of God. I think that there's something in there for everyone. There's some description in the Bible of God that is going to resonate with each and every one of us. So if this image of a mothering, nurturing God isn't one that resonates with you, I hope that there's another one, another image of God in the Bible that does resonate with you. And I personally am truly grateful that I have a loving mother, and that I have had many loving mother-type people in my life. So the image that I get from this chapter is one of a mother comforting her child after he or she has experienced hurt or heartache. And I find this incredibly comforting, because I know that light conquers darkness and God's promises endure beyond everything. I love this image. I think of those times when I have gone to my own parents, to my own mom, and I have been in despair, and I can tell her, the things that have happened to me, and I can pour out my heartache. I can pour out everything that has happened. And even if she can't fix it, she's there and she loves me and she comforts me to the best of her ability. And so thinking of God like this, thinking of God as this nurturing mother who takes the hurt child, whatever age that child is, because our mothers do love us no matter what age we are. We're always their babies. But think back to, you know, I mentioned preschool kids at the beginning, and when preschoolers or when children of any age come to us and they've been hurt, whether it's a physical hurt or their feelings have been hurt, and all they want to do is tell you about it and know that you are there with them and be comforted by you, whether that's comforting words or a comforting snuggle or however that works. That is what God is in these verses. That is what I find so comforting about these verses, because Jerusalem, as described in the previous 10 chapters leading up to these verses, has been hurt. I'm sure its feelings have been hurt, but it's definitely been hurt physically. And yet, throughout that all, God is present. God is there, present in the darkness, a light in the darkness, a nurturing comfort for the hurts and the heartaches that the people of Israel have experienced. And that is why I find these verses so incredibly beautiful and so incredibly comforting. And we do have to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll be talking about why I also find these verses to be incredibly difficult to read. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching. The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch, whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. Before the break, we were talking about this text from Isaiah and this image of God as a loving, nurturing God who comforts the children, who comforts Jerusalem in their heartache, in their hurt, and in their grief. And I said I find these incredibly comforting, but that I also can find them incredibly difficult as well. I find these verses, this text, difficult because sometimes that darkness feels never ending. Sometimes that darkness in our lives feels that it's so dark that no light can ever possibly break through it. You've probably experienced some point in your life that feels like this, when the darkness is so intense. And I look at the world lately, in the last few weeks, in the last month, I mean, off and on, it happens throughout my life. I look at the world and I think, when, God, when will your promises come into fulfillment? When will I find that comforting presence where I can feel nurtured and loved and find joy and contentment? Where is that for my brothers and sisters who are hurting? Where is that nurture and that comfort for those who are being hurt by the world, who are being physically, mentally, emotionally hurt, killed by the world around them? And the truth is that God is there. God's promises are there, but we as humans aren't perfect. We tend to forget that we're made in the image of God, and we have a bit of God within us. And instead we focus on hate, greed, envy, anger, all of those negative and dark emotions that, if you joined me last week, we spoke about in that reading from Paul's letter to the Galatians, all of those negative emotions that are so much easier to turn to at times But we can't just sit and wallow in the darkness, though. No matter how dark it feels. And here I'm not talking about mental illness or clinical depression, because that's something different. That's not something that you can just pull yourself out of. But the world around us, the darkness that surrounds us because of the world, we can't just sit and wallow in that darkness. The quote that I keep seeing on whenever anything happens in the world that's devastating, it's a quote on social media, it's a meme on social media, and it's from Martin Luther King Jr., and it says, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." But light and love don't just come from nowhere, just as hate and darkness don't. We as humans create hate and darkness in this world. It surrounds us. But we as humans can also take the light and the love that we have been given by God and create light and love in the darkness and hate of this world. We are called to do God's work in the world. We are called to go out and be the light. We are called to bring love to the world. We are called to serve our brothers and sisters. God is real. God's promises are real. But God is in covenant with us. That means that God has given us promises, but we have promises to uphold as well. We have work to do also. We can't just let others do it for us. We can't just sit back and think, I have faith that God is going to fix everything for us overnight. No, it doesn't really work like that, because we are God's hands in the world. We are the ones who help to bring God's work and promises to fulfillment. Now, I know that this whole maybe tangent might seem a bit away from the text that we read in Isaiah, that text of joy, but I've had so much on my mind these past weeks, and it seems like every time I turn around, there's another tragedy happening in the world. You know, 24-hour news cycles bring us tragedy all the time, and it starts to get a little overwhelming. But part of reading and studying the Bible together is letting the things in the world work on us as we read the Bible. We don't read it in a vacuum, but it is informed and affected by the world around us. We shouldn't try to force the text into our own understanding of it, but we should let it work on us and on our understanding of the world. As we read, we should take in everything around us and let the text work through us. Let the text speak to us as it will. And if we let the text speak to us, it will hopefully speak words of hope in the midst of despair and in the midst of a world that often seems to be more dark than light. And that is what I get from this text from Isaiah. The fact that there was so much happening in Jerusalem, so much pain and despair, and yet the people still had reason to rejoice because of God's love, because God was a nurturing and caring God, like a mother nurturing her children. Which brings us actually to, it's a good segue to Psalm 66, which talks about joy in another way. And so today's reading from Psalm 66 is verses 1 through 9. "Make a joyful noise to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. Because of your great power, your enemies cringe before you. All the earth worships you. They sing praises to you, sing praises to your name. Come and see what God has done. God is awesome and in his deeds, God is awesome in his deeds among mortals. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There we rejoiced in him who rules by his might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let the rebellious not exalt themselves. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept us among the living and has not let our feet slip." How happy is this psalm? How wonderful is it to hear it? It's so joyful, and it fills me with joy to read it, to hear it. I kind of want to put an exclamation point at the end of every sentence just to emphasize and underline that joy. According to the psalmist, there is so much that the believing community can remember with joy from the past acts of God, and that community is to continue the story of God's goodness. According to Jin H. Han, professor of biblical studies at New York Theological Seminary, who writes, "Although not transparent in English translations, The Hebrew text of verse 1 depicts the act of praise with a plural form of the verb envisioning all the earth as a company gathered to make a joyful noise. The reference to a noise is not haphazard. The psalmist apparently welcomes an outburst of joy in praise, for the quality sought is not a musical elegance, but the jubilation inspired by the joy of worship. He says it echoes nicely the first reading from Isaiah 66, and I agree. Isn't this a nice thought? A joyful noise doesn't have to be perfectly in tune or perfect in any way. It simply has to be joyous. And hopefully this is good news to you, to those of you who think you can't carry a tune, so you either don't sing in worship or you sing very, very quietly. I know you're out there. I've talked to you. You say you don't want to sing in worship. But according to this psalm and me, I say go ahead and sing out. Make a joyful noise, just so long as it really is full of joy. Worship God with all of your heart and let that joy shine through. That joy of verse 1 morphs into song in verse 2. And the sole purpose of the song is to praise God and tell about all the reasons that God should be praised. Remember it said, tell about all of the awesome deeds that God has done. The psalmist refers to God as awesome in this song, which actually has two purposes. The first is to show how we should be in awe of God and the amazing things that God has done and continues to do. So remember, they talked about how God separated the waters so that the Israelites could walk through on dry land. It backtracked and told of all the amazing things that God has done and the reasons that we should be in awe of God. We could tell our own stories of the things that God has done in our lives that make us in awe, that make us just stand back and say, wow, God is amazing. These are the reasons that I should be joyful because this is what God has done in my life. Now, the second is awe in the sense that God's awesome acts inspire fear in those who rise up against God. The awe then extends from the psalmist and his community out into the whole world. But let me backtrack a bit on that awe in the sense that God's awesome acts inspire fears in those fear who rise up against God. And I think that's referring again. We talked about it a little bit in last week's episode. The people who find other things to worship besides God and who then don't have that same sense of community. We talked a little bit about this in the psalm from last week, and the psalmist was saying that his community has reasons to be rejoicing. His community is joyful in God, and I think that's saying the same thing, that when you don't have that experience of God, you don't feel that same sense of awe, and so you might fear God because God's awesome acts are working over here, and you're over here thinking, no, you know, I don't know. I'm too scared to believe in a God like that. But yes, God does amazing things, but they should fill us with joy, not fear. And actually, we do have to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll be talking more about this psalm. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The Health and Wellness Podcast, dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. Before the break, we were talking about the joy that we find in Psalm 66. And the joy I mentioned extends from the psalmist and his community out into the entire world. Remember that the psalm said, make a joyful noise, all the earth. It's not just the psalmist and his community, it's the entire world that's being encouraged to make a joyful noise. In other words, that joy does extend out into the whole world, at least for those who recognize God's act in order to find the joy in them. we turn back to that commentary from Professor Hahn that I referenced earlier, he writes, Psalm 66, verse 5, starts a new section with a recitation of God's work among mortals. In verse 6, the psalmist cites as its concrete examples the crossing of the Red Sea and of the Jordan. The grand narrative from Exodus into the entry, or to the entry into Canaan, is presented against the backdrop of the symbolic world of the ancient Near East, in which the water represents the power of chaos. God's mastery over the chaotic forces is revealed in the deliverance of God's people. It can also be observed in God's sovereignty over the nations. The reign of God over the world will be eternal, for divine governance precludes a chance that those who rise up against God can prevail. Our psalmist anticipates the triumph of God's power. Now, the idea of the use of might may be troublesome to our modern sensitivities. However, it is an important part of the psalmist's message that divine power delivers God's people from helpless situations. God's watch may well trigger the thought of divine surveillance. You know, Big Brother is watching you. For the psalmist, however, it's a mark of the liberating governance of God, who keeps the powers of chaos at bay and provides an ever-present protection. Again, I'm making reference to last week. If you listened to last week's podcast, we talked about what it means to be protected by God and how that can be translated as to be kept by God. It's actually another reason to rejoice in God's awesome acts, because it means we're being kept in relationship with God. Protect me, O God, as the psalmist said last week, can also mean keep me, O God. Keep me in your love. Keep me in relationship with you. And being in relationship with God, being kept and protected by God, is just another reason to rejoice. In the last two verses of this week's reading, the psalmist again reiterates the call for the whole world to. Rejoice and worship. He cites all of the tangible benefits felt by his own community, so it seems only logical to invite the whole world into those benefits and into relationship with the God who protects and keeps us. The psalmist isn't unaware, though, of the darker sides of life, so it's not as though, you know, I spoke of my difficulty with the last text, the Isaiah text, and it's not that the psalmist is unaware of those things that I spoke about, the darker parts of life. It's not that he does understand that rejoicing doesn't always mean that everything goes perfectly for those who are full of joy. There's a reference at the end of this text to a slip of the feet, which can conjure image of tripping, of falling, even falling to certain death. Since the Hebrew verb for slip in the translation derives from a root that depicts something that totters due to insecurity, I think that's a really good image. Slipping, it means you're not stable in your footing, and so you start to totter, you start to slip. The psalmist may also deliberate on the threat of instability and appreciate a God who keeps the faithful firm. So one more reason to rejoice that God helps us not to slip. In the midst of the perilous journey of life, the psalmist affirms that God has kept us among the living. Though life is invariably accompanied by many dangers, and though history is painfully familiar with oppression and hardships, the end of life and history is going to be not death, but life. And so there is good reason to be jubilant with the entire earth. I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast how my preschoolers singing the hippo song is one of the most joyful noises that I at least can imagine. I don't know if you can imagine a more joyful noise, especially if you have never heard preschoolers sing the hippo song. It's a song that is silly and it has lots of fun actions and dance move, but it's also a song that talks about what this psalm is talking about, the acts of God that should fill us with joy, because this is a song that talks about what God has done. It's about the creation story. And it says, in the beginning, God made the sea and the forest filled with trees. God stacked the mountains up so high. Above it all, God placed the sky. God's fingerprints are everywhere, just to show how much God cares. And then this is the really fun part. It says, And in the middle, God had some fun. He made a hippo that weighed a ton. And then this is where the kids are full of joy, because then you sing and you have to put up each of your index fingers. And as you sing, hip, hip, hooray, God made all of us, you have to turn in circles. So you say, first you say it in a big, big booming voice. Hip, hip, hippopotamus. Hip, hip, hooray, God made all of us. Now, don't picture me sitting here podcasting to you. Picture a room full of small children who are dancing and giggling and spinning in circles and making giant hip, hip, hippopotamus noises. And that is a joyful noise. That, to me, is a joyful noise in worship. And the other example that I will share with you today is similar, as it involves children and music. At my last congregation, our vacation Bible school was ages preschool through junior high, and we would have a couple hundred kids attend each summer. So take those couple of hundred kids, add in all of the volunteers necessary to make things run, and then put them all in the sanctuary at 2:45 in the afternoon for closing worship. Then, into this mix, get a man with a guitar who gets them all literally jumping with joy. No matter how tired they were at the end of the day, the last song that our leader, our worship leader, would always do would always wake them up and wind them up. And actually, now I feel a little bad for sending them back home out to their parents after they were just completely pumped full of adrenaline. But the song that would do it for them was called Pray to God. And Monty, our worship leader, had written it to the tune of that song, na 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 na, na 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 na, hey, 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 goodbye. But instead of hey, hey, goodbye, it would be hey, 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 pray to God. And for the final rounds, then Monty would get them ready. He'd get them to go really, really quiet, whispering the na 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 part. And then slowly each time, build them up louder and louder. And then on the last round, he would let them go as loud as they possibly could. And I think it may have registered on the Richter scale, because it was loud. It was a joyful noise in worship. For me, these kinds of examples will always be what come to mind first when I think of making a joyful noise to God. Eventually, children fall into the ways of thinking that we all do, that we all have, where they don't want to be too silly, or they don't want to draw attention to themselves, or be seen different, be seen as different, etc. But for a while, they contain so much of the world's joy, and they let it out with exuberance. I often say that I wish I could bottle up the energy of children for when I'm feeling tired, but now I'm thinking that I also wish I could bottle their amazing joy to lift me up when things feel dark and heavy. If I could just have a little bottle of joy in worship from the preschool hippo song, I think it would help so much, because God is the light in our darkness. And God is the source of our joy. God is the light in our darkness. I know the world seems horrible sometimes, and it is, but there is hope. And there is hope because we are surrounded by a community of loving people. We are surrounded by a community who are loved and kept and protected by God. And when we are loved and kept and protected by God, we can then take that out into the world to bring joy, to bring the joy that we find because of God's amazing work in our lives, but also then to use that joy to bring love and light into the dark places of the world. I'm going to say that again. We can take our joy out with us to bring love and light into the dark places of the world, and others can bring their joy, bring us love and light into the dark places that we ourselves experience. Just think if we could all bring love and light more and more. Think of how the world might be a different place. And on that time, on that note, that is all the time that we have for today, but thank you so much for joining me this week as we discuss the readings from Isaiah and Psalm 66 that were assigned for the week of July 3rd, 2016. Join me again on Wednesday as we move to the New Testament readings from Galatians 6 and Luke 10. As a reminder, you can always find the Golden State Media Concept, all of the Golden State Media Concepts podcasts at www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can download our podcasts on iTunes, Google Play, and SoundCloud, and on many other devices for your mobile many other apps for your mobile devices. In terms of social media, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. You can even tweet us, GSMC at GSMC underscore Bible Study. You can let me know where you find joy in worship. So follow us on social media, download us on iTunes, Google Play, and SoundCloud. Thank you for joining me, and always remember that you are a beloved child of God.